This is Will's Band of the Week for October 14th, 2018. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey, everybody.
And Craig, live from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
And there was something on your stove, and you sent us a photo, and we thought it was chili, but it turned out it's not chili.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried. It's supposed to be a Christmas cake, but perhaps if it looks too much like a chili, not good, but
Christmas
not good.
Cake that looks like chili.
I thought it was chili. With beans, but those maybe are chocolate chips or something in a paper pot.
What did you put? You put currants, raisins, cherries, almonds. Oh dear, mixed peel, all kinds of stuff goes in there.
Interesting. Yeah, I do have to say that I couldn't quite figure out whether the chili was surrounded with paper on the stove.
It looked like it could have been in some sort of a taco shell bowl.
Right. See, now I don't feel so bad because Barrett saw it the same way as I did.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think anybody on this side of the Atlantic would look at that. Oh, look, he's made a Christmas cake. Nobody
right.
would think that.
No.
We could guess
this
for
a week.
This
is the recipe of Delia Smith. She's the owner of Norwich City Football Club, and she's also a famous celebrity chef. And really, if you're making traditional recipes from the British style, that's... She's one of the people you'd go to, I think, to get the recipe. And so we always make her Christmas cake.
Wow. You know what we used to do on this podcast? Once in a while, we would print a recipe.
Yeah, we had a
website.
Recipe thing. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Would
I
you
forgot.
Be willing, Craig, to share that recipe with our listeners?
Yeah. Did we actually do that? I can give you the link. The Delia Smith recipe is available for free online. You just have to Google, but certainly I can provide the link.
All right. So tell us about Christmas cakes. I mean, it's a cake you make for Christmas, but we don't make Christmas cakes here. And you're making it in October.
So it's just usually in your afternoon. So you have a huge Christmas lunch, which would be similar to your Thanksgiving lunch, really. So we have that Christmas day around 1 p.m., 2 p.m. or something. And then in the evening, you don't really want to eat anything more, but you have to force down a slice of this rich fruit cake, which is steeped in booze, brandy usually.
So you're making this cake, though, and it's 2 months in advance, right?
Yes. So what, each week now, we'll put a tablespoon of brandy or almond spirit, Di Serono. We'll make some holes in the top and pour a tablespoon of brandy in each week now for the next 8 or 9 weeks.
I am going to make one of these cakes. Is it difficult? It's fussy. You got to do a lot of things every... You know,
yeah,
but
I think to buy one from a high-end grocery store would probably be £20 or something. I reckon we spent that much on gas to in the stove to cook it and on ingredients, honestly. it equates to about the same. I think you should just buy one, but apparently that's not really the most... It's nice to make your own things.
There's a satisfaction, yeah. But you don't have to have it. It doesn't have to sit on your stove for 9 weeks, does it?
No, we'll put it... No, it won't stay there. It won't stay.
It's got a storage area for it.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, here we are. I know Barrett was going to give us a brewer update, but this is all, you know, this is not just a music podcast.
Right.
It's a Milwaukee Brewer discussion also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the three of us watched it. I think David sounded like he was going to watch it. He was kind of pulling for the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the National League Championship Series. They won the first game. Yesterday, they were leading after 6. It looked 3-0. It looked like they had a pretty good chance because they've got a good back end of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And they didn't win.
No.
And that was very sad.
That was the wrong thing to do.
That was right.
To not win.
Right. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they weren't paying attention to the scoreboard because at the end, they had the chance to get more runs and they just didn't do it. So.
Right. And you know what? The really terrible thing that happened is... A guy with a big beard on the opposing team hit a home run.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Hate it when that happens. Why is there always one guy with a big beard?
I don't know. But I thought in the last series that, you know, Charlie Blackman.
I thought he's
the guy with the big beard on Colorado. Really? I was like, that guy's going to hit a home run to beat us. And I'm going to be doubly annoyed because of the beard.
Yeah.
This guy yesterday had like a big red beard.
Yeah. Not quite as big of a beard.
No.
So I was watching the also really bad football game last night. And there's another prototype football player.
Oh, yeah.
It's the linebacker with the long blonde hair.
We have one, too.
Right? Yeah.
Van Ginkle is ours.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
And then they had a long blonde hair linebacker guy, too.
Why were they showing him all the time? He was on screen more than, like,
he was always on the screen. Because of his beautiful locks, right?
I guess.
It used to be that the long blonde hair linebacker was like a deranged guy, right? Right. Like, you're supposed to be, you fear him because he's so scary.
Right.
Now it's like there's so many of them, they're just, you know.
Totally. Well, yeah, look at Clay Matthews.
Yeah, he's
the
long
blonde. I guess the idea is like anybody crazy enough to have hair that looks that insane is liable to do absolutely anything.
Exactly. Right. You know? Are there, Craig, are there Premier League players with really long blonde hair?
Oh, dear. There must have been, and there certainly have been.
Or is there,
one? Do you know the shampoo Head and Shoulders? I don't know if you have that. Be a European thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have that.
But you do have that, yeah. There was several of them have advertised that anti-dandruff shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you have long flowing hair, it makes you more suited to the hair product commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here we had those commercials with a football player, Troy Polamalu, who had a big mane of hair.
I wouldn't have been able to come up with that name, Barrett. That's very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sports update. So as we record this, it's 1-1 in the series right now.
Yeah.
Brewers are, they're right in there. They're still right in it.
I'm just...
Yeah, I think if they can go to LA and come back, obviously they can't lose three. So that if they could win one or two of the next three, then of course that would be better than losing three.
That is true.
if they win only one out of three, though, then they have to win two in a row.
Yeah, but you know what they would say in the locker room or in the clubhouse, I guess. We talk about clubhouse.
Would they say they're going to take it one game at a time? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
they will.
It's the most logical thing to do, because if you're out, then you don't have any more games to think about. And if you're in, this is where I take one game at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't play more than one game at a time.
Exactly. They're going to have to be thinking about whether they're going to try to manufacture runs or score them in bunches, right?
Why don't they do both?
They don't have a guy with a big beard to hit home runs, but they have Christian Yelich, who hasn't been hitting well at all.
No.
So maybe
he's been okay.
I mean, just in this last couple of games, he hasn't done much. Yeah. So, all right, there's your baseball update. We'll have another update in a week. Things are going to be really different in a week. Well, the series will be over.
The series will be over.
In a week,
you will have or will have not have gone to a game.
Right. I'm going to the game if it happens on Friday.
Yeah. I think that they can at least get to game six.
They at least
they
have to
win
only have to win one out of three, and then we'll
That's
get
nothing.
To see that game. Yeah.
I think they will. I think that will happen.
Okay, here's a question. If somebody told you, it's a dumb question, that game isn't going to be played, what's your first thought?
Oh, definitely that the Brewers lost.
Why? It could just as easily be the other way around.
Well, but you know, it's on the road, you know.
Dodgers are good at their home park, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, most teams are, but Dodgers particularly. It's not a good place to go to.
But the Brewers did well this year in LA. Batting last is such an unbelievably big advantage.
It is an advantage, definitely. Yeah.
And it's especially good, I mean, like, as a fan, watching, you know, if the game is... say if it's tied and the other team is batting in the bottom of the ninth, you're like, Jesus, could be over it with one swing of the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you get to bat last, at least you have a little hope all the way through. So,
right. When they play in Los Angeles, are there going to be crowd shots of Jack Nicholson and, you know, the stars watching the game?
I don't know.
You think they probably
don't do that
would
as much
be.
As like with the Lakers.
It's a bigger stadium, but they probably could. I bet there's the network has a face recognition software, so it just like will zero in on the celebrities, right?
Yeah. Or maybe like their publicist would say, like, hey, by the way, you know, Trying to think of some funny C-list celebrity. And Andy Dick is in section 213, row 7, seat 1. So they know where to look.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I probably would do that.
Wouldn't you? I mean, if we went to a game, well, when you do, aren't you going to have your publicist tell the broadcast team like where you're sitting?
Probably should, because then they'll probably they'll put me on the scoreboard.
Right.
Like my face the size of the scoreboard, basically. Right. They'll say Will from Will's Band of the Week.
Right. Yeah, and all the
players. You want the opposite. You want them to play it down. Will from Will's Band of the Week will definitely not be at the game. Don't get too excited. You'll just be hounded throughout. You won't even be able to enjoy the baseball. Autograph hunters, people wanting to have a little chat about the next indie releases.
He brings up a good point.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the analogy to, you know, the band that plays under an alias, right? The Rolling Stones go to a club and they have to make up a fake name, right, of the band that's playing. And I was just thinking, if we took our podcast on the road, we'd go into a club, we'd make up a different podcast name.
Yeah.
And then only when we started podcasting, then suddenly, you know, it'd be all over Twitter. It's like, hey guys, this is actually Will's Band of the Week here.
Steve's Band of the Month is actually Will's Band of the Week.
What do we got going on, you guys? Any live reports? Craig, have you seen 3 or 4 bands in the last week you can tell us about?
Nothing from me, but I am going on location to New York City very soon. I hope to come back with some live reports from that. So, to be updated.
And you'll be checking in with the New York City Bureau?
Yes, we're going to go and see... Should I reveal it? I'm going to say we're going to see a band from Glasgow in Scotland together, myself and David, but I'm not going to say who. So that will be revealed later.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's cool. Very good.
Listeners are now just so excited. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the anticipation is pretty crazy. Nobody died. We talked about John Wicks from the Records last week, and we talked about Marty Balin the week before.
Yeah.
So now there's been a safer week.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's,
although Jim Taylor died.
The football player, mm-hmm. Jim Taylor, right? Not James Taylor.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, that did happen. That's a Green Bay Packer legend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played in the 60s. So no deaths, no live music.
But we have this big list. And we've been, Anurag sent us his big list. And then yesterday, Jeremiah sent us a huge list. So we have all kinds of things we could listen to and
talk
about.
There's a lot of list making going on.
Hey, are you guys getting Jeremiah's emails multiple times?
No.
He said the last couple of emails that he sent yesterday, I got them 5 times. Like I just got 5 identical emails.
Do you have Gmail?
This is the willsband@yahoo.com account.
Huh.
So maybe it's a Yahoo thing. So
yeah, well,
I saw it, but because Gmail threads them, they just all appeared like they were replies to each other as opposed to different email threads. So it wasn't that. Yeah, they were there, but they didn't come up as separate emails.
Oh, but you did get like multiple ones though.
Yes.
But then Gmail,
they're all threaded in the same chain. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. That's weird. Technology doing us wrong.
Sure. So yeah, some of the correspondents have given long lists and, I mean, David, he's been known to give a long list or two, right? That's my recollection.
Yeah.
And he sent a little message back to Jeremiah. I think Jeremiah felt like he was being chastised, and he, I'm sorry, I'll try to, but I'm like, wait a minute, you're no more of an offender than anybody else.
Yeah,
is,
we're
Jeremiah,
all offenders.
So.
Yeah, I'm the original offender. And then, keep the list, they can be as long as you want. It's kind of fun, because then it's fun to kind of dig a nugget out of the pile, sort of. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You just look at that big list and you're like, which one of these should I sample first? So it's kind of fun. So, hey, let's do something fun. And we did a little pre-production and we weren't quite sure all the bands we were going to talk about. And Craig basically said, he's ready. It's like a guy on the bench, ready to go in the game and give 110% when called upon. So Craig's ready to do that. Barrett's always ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes we start, I think it's pretty common, we start with the most well-known band, like a featured thing or whatever, right? Let's just throw that completely out the window. What do you think?
Whoa.
Wow.
And let's start with Popple.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Popple.
But I want it on record. I've never said 110%.
What you might only
completely
give
completely
like,
impossible to give 110%.
Yeah, that's true. You might just give like 96% today.
Yeah.
Would that be like
imagine if a sports person said, "I'm going to go out and give 96%."
Yeah,
there would be all kinds of accusations, questions, recriminations.
Yeah, and that would be actually pretty good, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to give 100%. 100%.
Yeah, if it was 100%, you couldn't.
Like you're trying way too hard when you don't need to. You're wasting energy.
Right. And then plus you'd be so singularly focused that I think there'd be that could cause a problem.
Right.
Right. Because you have to have a little buffer for, you know, outside perception. So I think giving like 96 or 97 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, if you just give like 64%, that would be pretty disappointing.
Yeah, that wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not going to get it done.
I'm just assuming that it's pronounced Popple. The band is from Belgium, and they're on a record label from Madrid. And there are two little dots over the O in Popple. So that would seems Popple seems too simple of a pronunciation. Should be some kind of nuance to it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like people.
Yeah, could be.
Ah, maybe. Mm.
The album is called Hit It, and it sounds... well, I'll be interested to hear what Craig says about this. It sounds like something you've heard before. You know, it does not sound like, you know, completely original, but it's derivative of a whole lot of things that I like. So I like this too. So why don't we just play track one, because it's a good one. It's called Pittsburgh. Popple. Barrett, I think you had not listened to this yet, right?
I had not listened to it at all.
So, first impression?
Where did you say they were from? The Netherlands?
Belgium.
Belgium. Well, it doesn't sound like a Belgian band to me. Maybe the song, it's called Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They sound like they might be from Pennsylvania. You know, but that's fine. I don't have much to say about it based on the single song.
They, let's turn it over to Craig. Because I'm having trouble coming up with a brilliant, articulate thought at this moment.
Yeah, that was one of my picks as well. I think it's at least two podcast favorites who this reminds me of. You only would have heard one of them in there, though. Maybe
All right.
We should let Barrett play that game.
Okay.
There's a little guitar bit in there when he taps on the guitar pedal, and then there's a swirling guitar sound, which is very reminiscent of one particular band from the northeast of America. I thought, anyway.
So the game would include me being able to hear one more selection, right?
No, because it won't always be... So that was Dinosaur Jr. I really thought that little guitar effect there was like a Jay Maskus style. Just a swirling sound, very much.
Okay.
Oh,
but they don't sound like Dinosaur Jr. overall, obviously, but just that little bit. I'd be amazed if they haven't ever listened to them.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Why don't you
one
make
more
a
band? Oh, I thought. Can I pick a song which sounds like the other band?
Let's see if you can.
Please do.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my second. I've got my pick is track 7, Pleasure. So we'll see if it does sound like them. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Okay, I think I'm ready to play the game.
Excuse me. Oh, cool.
Who's going to guess first?
I'm ready.
Let's hear it.
Dive and Teenage Fan Club.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, now we've got four podcast favorites who this band sounds like.
I think I threw you guys off. You weren't expecting those.
Dive is a really good answer.
A lot of reverb-y, two guitars working in together kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And the tone is a little... It's like... sad pop kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, do you want to disclose the other band?
Well, before I do, you should make your second pick, and then we'll see if that sounds... I think there was elements of the band I'm thinking of in that previous song, but maybe we'll hear it even more in your second pick. We never know. Okay. And then I will disclose all at the end.
Yeah, I had two or three others I could have picked, but I think I'm going to go back to number two. How Many Days?
Worst thing I know.
That's Popple.
You know, I thought I might have been onto it, the mystery band, before you played that. And this one didn't sound anything like it. But the last one sounds a little bit like the kind of the polite side of Waves.
Okay.
But yeah, this one, I feel like it seems like something when you say it, that'll
dawn on me. That, no, I do hear it. Like, although it doesn't sound like Dinosaur Jr., there was an element in that first one. And I think there's a kind of real estate aesthetic to this.
Oh,
kind of laid back, jangle pop. And some of the guitar lines are very, very similar, very nice, like those.
Yeah, that's a legitimate one for sure. So perhaps you didn't read the description on their Bandcamp page because you wouldn't have had to read it to come up with your brilliant insight about Dinosaur Jr. But it just so happens that the singer and bass player, his former band, it says, shared stages with The Rapture, Dinosaur Jr., No Age, and Best Coast. So he opened for Dinosaur Jr. So, boy.
I bet he was having a look at when Damascus was sound checking. I bet he was watching a couple of things that he was doing with those pedals.
He's like,
and learned a trick or two.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool. Yeah, so overall, I think this is a very nice album. It's kind of, you could just listen, it's very listenable, isn't it? Easy and, you know, not groundbreaking. It's just kind of got some nice little sounds in there throughout.
Right. It's the kind of thing, it's enough in my wheelhouse that, I can just put it on and it's pretty consistent. And it's also nice and concise. So it's actually, you know what's interesting? I'm just looking here. And the Apple Music version of this album is 10 songs, 23 minutes. And the Bandcamp version is 14 songs. So I'm missing out on some of this. Maybe I haven't listened to the whole album. Anyway, what do you have there, Craig? 10 songs or 14?
I use Spotify, and I've got 10 songs, 23 minutes.
Yeah. So anyway, if you go on the Bandcamp page through their Madrid record label called Meritorio Records, that version has 14 songs on it. So, All right. Well, anyway, Popple, pretty cool. I like them. Let's keep on rocking. Who here would like to keep on rocking?
One vote for yes.
Yeah, two votes.
All right. Let's see. Let's go now to indie rock veteran Cat Power.
All right.
Also known as Sean Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I forgot where she's from. Australia, right?
No, she's from Georgia.
Georgia, Australia, similar things. Why am I thinking, is there another band with a name like that from Australia? Like Cat something else?
Cat Empire.
That's not what I was thinking of, though. Oh. How about Elf Power?
No, they're from Colorado. I think.
You know,
so they're part of that dinosaur
just to show,
Elephant just, Six thing.
Just to show my amateurism, I'm just going to leave that in there. I could so easily edit that out where I said Cat Power was from Australia. And I'm not going to. I'm just going to leave
there
it
are
out.
There are bands from Australia.
Yeah, there are.
That much is true. I don't know what, maybe you'll think of it, the animal connection during the podcast.
Yeah. But. I think, Barrett, I think that the last Cat Power album from maybe, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Like six, I think.
It seems like you had that on maybe on a top 10 or at least were like speaking highly of it. Or maybe I'm just remembering that you being like kind of a longtime fan. So
I've been a longtime fan.
So you should lead the Cat Power discussion.
Okay. Well, now I wish I'd gone and seen how many albums she's put out.
I'll do that music journalism right now.
Okay. But I think it's been 6 years. And her last one was called Sun. And I probably did have that on my top 10.
2012.
Yeah.
Yep.
This new one is called Wanderer. And to me, it kind of goes back to her original kind of sound, just her and a piano. And a lot of these songs sound kind of familiar. You're like, which Cat Power song does this remind me of? And the answer is kind of like a lot of them. She just has a kind of a consistent sound. And, you know, this album, I think, is kind of delivers for longtime fans like me.
It's her 10th album, according to the list of studio albums that I'm looking at. One was a covers album. Seems like the one that, at least like the first I heard of her, I think was the album called Moon Picks, and that was 1998.
Yeah, that was the first one that I heard too.
So she's totally an indie rock veteran. So let's play some of this. Barrett, what should we start with?
All right. I'm going to pick track number 8, Robin Hood, which is spelled with 2 B's for some reason. Just a really simple linear song. And I think she answered my question why it's spelled with 2 B's, because it's like Robin. So, but I find songs like that just to be kind of, I don't know if hypnotic is quite the right word. That's a little strong, but got some of that effect on me.
Yeah, it has that kind of feel. So it's funny because I was saying that one of my first impressions is that the first half kind of grabbed me more, and then I thought it kind of slowed down to piano ballads, and you mentioned piano songs, but that's a guitar ballad, that one. So I mean, it's there is some mixed instrumentation, and the second half of it grew on me a bit when I listened to it a little bit more. It's just not as outwardly catchy. It's more of, like you said, the hypnotic nature. So you know what, you always have to compare a female singer with a lot of reverb and that kind of general sound. Inevitably, it sounds like Mazzy Star, right? I don't know how much you've listened to Mazzy Star, but yeah. Like that's like from way back in the 90s, that's what I associate with that kind of sound.
I only really know that one song.
It was the one
Fade Into You.
Right, which is a great song, and probably they don't have any others that good, but still, I associate that sound, you know.
I can hear that.
Okay, I'll make a pick. I am going to play, I think number 2 is kind of, it's a featured track. Because the first one's sort of an intro, and this one's good, so let's play it. In Your Face.
Don't you dare forget it. Don't. You let them do things as they please. In a gray, you're accounted for. If you were red, you'd be spoken for.
That one, that sort of has a hypnotic effect,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and they're just, it's so simple, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, to me, the idea of writing a song, I know you've done it lots of times. To me, it's like this mystery that'll never crack. But hearing a song like that almost gives you hope, right? Because, you know, there's a little piano part. I can kind of imagine that that's the first thing they had. And the rest is just really simple stuff built around that. It's also a song you could probably teach three people without a ton of talent to play within an hour.
Yeah.
You know, like the guitar part is as easy as can be.
Yeah. That could be the some young band in the Battle of the Bands that yeah. play this.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe because her last several albums have been a lot more, you know, they've had kind of a higher production sound to them. And this mm-hmm. one is not at all. To me, I like that. Somebody else might think that it sounds unfinished or half-hearted, half-baked, but I come in on the positive interpretation of that.
Now it's time for the rock quiz. All right? Ready for the rock trivia quiz?
Yeah.
What two famous rock and roll singers were guest musicians on the Cat Power album from 2003 called You Are Free?
Paul McCartney. I've got another good one, but let Barrett have a guess.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of a funny one and a serious one at the same time. So I'm coming up like,
yeah.
My mind is at cross purposes right now. I'm going to say Bill Callahan.
The nicest man in rock and roll. Dave Grohl.
That's it. Dave Grohl.
He wasn't.
Yeah, that was
Are
one
you
of them.
Serious?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. 1-0 to me.
Wow.
Yeah. And the
that
other
was my joke answer.
Do you want to guess the second one, Barrett?
I guessed Bill Callahan. Either you blew it up because they were an item at one time. So I thought, yeah, maybe
it was Eddie Vedder,
Dave
Jesus Grohl,
Christ.
And Eddie Vedder.
What was that?
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. Well, they needed some big names for the album because yeah. they were trying to make her big.
Well, she got a big name on this album too.
Who's on this one?
Lana Del Rey.
Oh, that's right. There's a yeah. song with Lana Del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right, though, right?
Yeah.
I think Lana Del Rey is probably, I haven't listened to her much, but I think she's better than the typical, like, big celebrity musician. I think there's yeah. probably some, like, I don't know, I just have that impression.
Yeah, I don't know her music at all. I remember when she was on Saturday Night Live, the backlash was extreme, you know? And I was yeah. like, oh, I got to watch this. This sounds like a train wreck. And I don't get it. Like, what the hell was wrong with that? It was just, like, totally standard, normal.
Yeah.
She had a real effect on people.
There was a controversy, but I never got what it was. So, Craig, comments?
This is the first time I've ever heard Cat Power in my life, these two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really comment on where it fits into her catalogue. Obviously, it's very simple, these two songs, as Barrett was saying, really. It's interesting that Barrett, coming from having listened to Cat Power over the years before previous albums, came up with exactly the same thought as me. So maybe I'm not too off track. But just such simple things. And I was thinking, the problem I have with kind of acoustic singer-songwriters or piano ballad, how do you distinguish? Because anyone can do this, but you need to have that star quality. Obviously, it helps to have a very good voice like Cat Power has,
mm-hmm.
a real character in her voice. So that brings you up into the top 10% probably. But not everyone is Leonard Cohen, are they? And so it's weird how you can, I don't know, it's always something I think about. That's why I struggle perhaps with this kind of music, because I don't know how to differentiate between the busker in the street and someone who's sold thousands of records.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the simplicity of the songs and the ease at which they can be executed. But these songs have something, I think, that, you know, it's just kind of a minor key hypnotic thing with her really good voice that sets it apart for me, at least. So,
yeah, if I were forced to perform on the street or to advise somebody performing on the street to distinguish him or herself, I'd say play more minor chords.
Yeah,
you know, don't play Mumford and Sons strumming, you know. By the way, the Mumford and Sons are coming to Madison to play at the 17,000-seat basketball arena.
Really?
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's just nuts.
What is this, 2009? That, yeah. That's about when they were big.
Apparently they still are.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Isn't this some kind of farewell or like getting the band back together tour or something? I don't follow them closely, unfortunately.
I don't know.
So I'm not really my finger on this pulse, but there was something around the way it was presented in the media, you know, advertised.
Well, I have another follow-up. So David and I were talking a couple weeks ago about the venue, the new venue here, the Sylvie, that has a capacity of 2,500. And there's all these bands playing there, and we don't even know who they are. So one of the bands is called Greta Van Fleet. Do you guys know Greta Van Fleet? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know anything about them, but I looked them up. So basically, they're a Led Zeppelin sound-alike from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
They're like young guys that sound like Led Zeppelin.
Like, unbelievably so.
And people just love them. So, yeah. I mean, I could sort of listen to them if I were required to, but...
Yeah, I mean,
didn't
it's
get as
like
excited as some people.
Well, I think the people that really like them are people that don't like any music that's come out in the last 40 years.
Yeah,
you know, and they're like, man, I wish if I could go back and see Led Zeppelin in '75 at Cobo Arena, that would be the ultimate. And well, now right. You can kind of do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously they're not the same, but it's got the same. You know, it's the same template.
Right. Yeah. All right, back to Cat Power. Should we play one more?
Sure. I think it's your pick. Or wait, did you pick that last one?
No. It's going to be back to you on the assumption that Craig doesn't have a pick.
I would give my pick to Barrett.
All right. Let's pick the one with Lana Del Rey on it. It's called The Woman.
Tell me I'm not what you need. If I had a quarter, I would pull it together, and I would take it to the bank and then leave. Yes, I would take it to the bank and then leave.
You know, her albums have so much of her, like, harmonizing with herself and singing backing vocals for herself.
Yeah.
But it's hard to pick out that there are two vocalists on there.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't even necessarily know that. Maybe if you're a huge Lana Del Rey fan, you would know.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that sometimes we talk about artists that have been around a while, and they put out an album, and it sounds just like all their other albums, and you think, you know, why add this one to all their other albums? It's not really doing anything different. So I don't know the Cat Power catalog really well enough to say this for sure. But to me, it sounds a lot like the other albums. But the thing is, it's 6 years between albums. So why not have a Cat Power refresher, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's probably it just seems like there'd be maybe some untapped audience out there for her. So,
yeah, I think I like it a little bit more than you did. And it sounds different than the last few, really everything she did for the last dozen or more years.
Yeah, you were saying with the production.
Yeah. And
much less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Cat Power, who is not from Australia.
No.
She's safely from
Georgia. She's from Atlanta, I think.
All right. Well, we've got more. Should we just keep on rocking?
Let's.
Let me address the audience one more time. How many people would like to keep on rocking?
I'm hearing some noise about that.
There's a crowd. Do. There's a screaming crowd in the background. We couldn't hear it. All right. Okay. So about what, a month and a half ago, we were talking about whether we should talk about the Idols album. And so I remember first Craig was like really excited before it came out because there was like a lot of intriguing press and everything. And then it came out and then we all of us were sort of unsure about it. And we were so unsure that we just haven't talked about it. But now we're going to. Right?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah, this is rock and roll.
Yeah. So I think Craig should lead the Idols discussion.
Here we go. Where do we begin? This is a band from Bristol in England. Album number 2, Joy as an Act of Resistance. Following hot on the heels of the first one, which I think was last year, pretty sure, I'm always a little bit skeptical. Okay, there's the old cliche, you have your whole life to write the first album, and then the sophomore album, the second one, is difficult because you only have 18 months to do it. But then what if you wrote 20 songs in your whole life? Then you have two albums worth of material, so it's all a bit bullshit, that all those cliches and things. But anyway, I'm always a bit skeptical when something comes out very quickly. Because have they really honed the songs as much as they could have? Or are they just rushing it out to try and get the crest of a wave kind of burst of popularity thing? This does sound very similar to the songs on the last album. And it's kind of just quite vicious, angry indie rock, I suppose, is how I describe it.
That's probably fair. Seems reasonable. Yeah.
His voice is kind of angry. Something you have to say when discussing them is this is quite a political band. They kind of, sometimes you have a band where they say, oh, this song is the band's mission statement. You know, this is what they're all about. Every song is by Idols is their mission statement. They have, you know, he's pretty much just stating his worries and problems with the world. And just the lyrics are him stating these things. There's not really any metaphor. It's just blurted out.
Right.
Kind of, you can take it either way, but I'm kind of on the fence on them. But there's as kind of we talked about in pre-production, there's some good tracks on here, second and half of the album particularly, so I think it's worth bringing this to the listeners.
Well, you educated me in the fact that this is their second album. I just thought this was their first album. I never heard the first one. So
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
Well, why don't you make a pick to get things going?
Yeah. I'm going to leave the single to the side. Maybe we'll come back to it. But I'm going to go into the deep cut straight away. Track 8, Television.
And that's what they do. The bastards make you not want to look like you. So they pay through the nose to look like someone else. Or the whales on the shelf. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. And that's what they do. The bastards make you not want to look like you. So you pay through the nose to look like someone else. Or the widows on the shelf. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. I feel free.
Idols, the album is Joy as an Act of Resistance. Yeah, that was a good pick.
So this is about superficiality, judging people on their appearances, worrying about, I suppose, how you're perceived by others rather than just being yourself. And every song has some kind of political message, pretty much, that they've done.
Right. You know, I like it. I think that, you know, like you said, he doesn't cloak anything in metaphor. And it's just, it can come across as a little ham-fisted, you know, like, I don't know. The idea is kind of cliche and simplistic. But, you know, there's something about it I like. You know, I think part of it is, you know, the first time you hear something, you have sort of an association with it, that sometimes it disappears and other times you can't shake it. So first time I heard this was, Craig, when we were driving to the Brewer game.
Oh, yeah.
And we put it on, and right away my first thought was, because JJ was in the front seat with me, like, this is rougher than JJ wants to listen to right now, I can tell. Yeah. But after a few songs, he said, you know what he kind of sounds like? He sounds a little bit like Paul Weller. I was like, oh my God, she's absolutely right. So when I put it through that filter, I like it more. And it also sounds a little bit like Nick Cave sometimes too. But especially the angrier side of Paul Weller. So, but it doesn't sound like the Jam, but just his voice.
I've got another name the podcast favorite band that this reminds you of. So I'm going to play the song and then you guys can... Well, I think I might have told you guys already, so it'd be a spoiler alert. But let's play number 5, Love Song. Yeah, it's got kind of an angry tone, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost a little bit of a like a John Lydon kind of tone in that one.
Yeah, maybe.
But, well, I told you guys already, but that's like, I keep thinking that would be so great if Joe Casey sang it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little bit of a Proto-Martyr, you know, the harder edge side of Proto-Martyr tone to it. And that guitar, that reverb-y guitar hit sounds like the Proto-Martyr guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that song in particular made me think, I wonder if these guys have actually listened to Proto-Martyr. They might have.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I just wrote down there, Will, that as we were listening to that, the guitar bit is great, the same one you identified. Mm-hmm. But it's almost too obscured. I think, you know, it's too much. The political message is everything this band is about, but the vocals are too much in the front of the mix. You can't even hear that we could barely hear that brilliant guitar line. That should be the loudest thing, you know, in my opinion. I would enjoy this more if you could hear more of that kind of stuff that's hidden in the background.
Yeah, they do put the vocal right out front for sure. So, all right, Barrett, do you have a pick?
Sure. I'm going to pick the one, let's see here, number 7, Samaritans.
Yeah, I would say that has rhythmic power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, the message there, pretty plainly stated.
Yeah.
You know, don't get caught up in trying to be a tough guy. It's okay to cry.
Yeah.
So,
idols.
It's not like a groundbreaking message, but one that I think a lot of people would be wise to heed and to listen to.
Agreed.
Yeah, I've thought about this a little bit, at least since we started talking about the album a few weeks ago, whether we would talk about it. And I wonder if this is the kind of... I do strongly believe that music should be political. For example, Yola Tengo posted recently on their Facebook page, we're holding a benefit event for people running, I think for the Senate or Congress anyway, the midterm elections coming up for Democratic candidates in Manhattan, charity event, you know. Not a charity, is it? You know, funding campaign. And people posting, oh, you've just lost me as a listener, goodbye. You know, oh, you know. You shouldn't be played to stick to the music. I like your music, but your politics is wrong and stuff. And no, you are wrong. And I just wonder if we've got to such a point now where he needs to just come out and say this stuff without any obfuscation and metaphor. Just people just need a message to be stated so plainly because things are so bad.
Yeah, that came up here with Taylor Swift, right? In the past week or so, she made a political statement, and then. Of course, there's this big backlash of her fans. Like, I'm never listening to Taylor Swift again.
And it was the same thing happened with Willie Nelson. Yeah. Willie Nelson supported that. Is it Beto? Like the guy that's running against Ted Cruz in Texas?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke. And people are like, oh my God, you're alienating your fans. Like, if you haven't realized that Willie Nelson isn't like practically a communist for the past 50 years. You aren't paying any attention at all.
Yeah.
And the Taylor Swift thing, she said, I've given this a lot of thought, and usually I would vote for a female candidate. In this case, not comfortable with the things that she believes, so I'm going to vote for this guy. And I urge all of you to just like research the candidates and do as much homework as you can and vote knowing everything you can know about the races.
Yep.
Like, oh my God, that is outrageous. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
There's a lyric from the previous Idols album, the way to look, you know, people are entitled to their own political beliefs, but it's when you get extreme that it's the problem. But he said the best way to scare a Tory, a conservative in the UK, is to read and get rich. And you just think maybe some of these very hard conservatives are scared about Taylor Swift fans learning more about politics, getting engaged in politics, registering to vote. And that's why they're so appalled by the fact that she would enter into it, you know.
Right.
The best thing for the old aging conservatives with their very those kind of beliefs is the best thing is if young people don't get interested in politics and register to vote and you know, be active and stuff. So
yeah.
Ah, well.
Yeah. So locally here, there's a Bon Iver political benefit in a week at the Sylvie.
Hmm.
Yeah. I just did. I heard that it was sold out, so I just clicked on buy tickets. The $50 general admission is sold out, but you can go into you can get into the Badger balcony for $200, the gold balcony for $500, or the platinum balcony for $1,000.
Wow!
Yeah, so you get a meet and greet with the senator if you do the $1,000 one. So I would think, Barrett, that you and I would just get asked to.
You would think, yeah,
as guests of Bon Iver.
So the candidate is Tammy Baldwin. JJ went to a neighbor's house that just had like a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
JJ gave like a small donation.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to meet Tammy Baldwin. Didn't have to pay $5,000.
Yeah, she did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all right. We had another band.
It's a political podcast. And as I said, people can have their own views. I don't, you know, don't discriminate against anyone. But these extreme views, we don't like extreme views here.
Right.
Right.
And people should be nice. Right?
Yeah.
Just
put your point of view forward in a nice way, in a civilized way.
Right. Yeah. We had another band, but we're well over an hour. So, but I'll edit this down to reduce all the mistakes. So it'll be about an hour, but maybe we ought to hold off on the last band.
Sure.
Is that all right with you, Craig?
Yeah. It sounds sensible. I have to go and eat.
That's right. It's late there.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. I think, should once again state that I believe that this podcast is worth greater than $0.
Yes. Well, equal to or less than.
Yeah.
Or more than, rather.
Equal to. Or more than. Yeah, that was my mistake on the t-shirt.
That's right.
Equal to or more than.
That would be.
Somebody could argue that it's worth zero. Yeah. And
ironically, I thought another statement we could put on the t-shirt would be mistake free since 2009.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't made, that mistake by Barrett, that was only a small mistake there. We can overlook that. Apart from that, we haven't made a mistake on the podcast.
Well, we try
I don't believe to date.
I mean, anything that would sound like a mistake is actually, we just put it in there on purpose so we don't sound perfect.
Right. One thing we do have is a perfect safety record, right? You know, like you go to a place, a job site, and it'll be like 53 days on the job without a workplace injury.
Yeah.
We have never had one, ever.
I've never had a banana peel on the floor here that Barrett's tripped over.
No.
That's a pretty well-known hazard. You just don't want to do that, leaving a banana peel on the, ground. No.
Inspectors came by, they'd ding you for that, for sure. They'd have to remedy it, and then they'd come back and pay a fine.
Probably the biggest danger that we've had in the studio is probably having whiskey in the studio.
Yeah.
That could hurt somebody if they didn't approach it the right way.
That's
right?
True. Or somebody could approach it the wrong way and then hurt another person. Like I'm talking about Chris in particular.
Right. That could happen. Yeah.
So, but yeah, we have a perfect record for that.
But when you have a big
accuracy,
if you've got a big glass bottle right here in the studio, it's kind of like having a loaded gun, you know.
If we had a
very spirited discussion about a band and there's some disagreement, and that bottle would be right there to smash over somebody's head.
Right. Absolutely. You'd want to, before you did that, like fill everybody's glass up and then smash it over the person's head. This, you don't want to be wasteful just because you're wrathful.
Didn't Brett Kavanaugh do something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. I think he did. I just thought I'd throw it up.
During the confirmation hearing, I think he did that.
We were in the political discussion. I thought that would follow logically.
Man. Oh, man.
All right, let's sign off. We can have a post-production discussion if we want to. That would be the content that people would pay the monthly subscription for.
Yeah, we always talk about that, but we never institute that idea.
Right. All right. Bye. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.